seek him. He that cometh to God must believe he is. John 20:26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Here's my verse. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You can be seated. Mark 5:36 says, and as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe, only believe. There's something about faith. That's why I ask you, are you a believer? There's casual believers. There's people that say they're believers. But then there's people that really believe that God is who he said he is. There's some people that really do believe that Jesus really is what and who he said he was. And what God wants is faith in him. He gave us the measure of faith. Now, with that measure of faith, we have a responsibility to do something with it. Everybody believes in something. Even the atheists believe in something. The evolutionist believes in something. I believe Genesis 1:1 is the most accurate thing that we could ever find throughout all history. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe that. One reason I believe that is because it makes more sense than anything else they have to offer. Where there is a design, there is a designer. Where there is a building, there is an architect. Where there is a creation, there is a creator. I don't believe that things just happened. I believe God spoke them into existence. Let me get a little nerdy on you for a minute. In quantum theory now, they're saying that everything didn't begin with matter. It didn't begin with time. It began with information. They looked throughout all their scientific discoveries, and they've came to this conclusion. Everything began with information. I'm here to tell you, you are absolutely right. There was a God that began to speak information into absolutely nothing, and it created what we see today. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It was made by the word or information of God. Oh, I feel preachy today. I may yell all service. But you got to believe. Truth is truth. Whether we accept it or reject it, it's still true. But faith puts you in a good spot. Why does faith do that? Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas. I think we label him wrong. I think we should call him Concrete Thomas. Concrete Thomas because he needed to see something concrete. He didn't just go by the words of the other disciples, but he needed to see it for himself. I think that some of the problem now is some people are going off the experience that their mom had or their dad had or their grandpa had, when you need to have an experience with God by yourself through him all alone. And then when it comes to that point, that experience will give you hope, and nobody can take that away, because you know that you know that you know that God got a hold of you. Thomas said, I don't know. Jesus comes in. He says, peace. I mean, that's what it said. Peace be to you. Then he says, Thomas, touch me. Put your finger here. Check this out, Thomas. And Thomas says, my Lord, my God. He said, you believe because you've seen. But he was a believer. But he said, blessed are those who haven't seen, yet believe. Yet believe. They haven't seen it, but they still believe it. And let me tell you what faith does. Faith believes it whether you see it or not. Faith can go beyond the evidence and go to another realm, a realm of assurity. Let me say it like this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I don't have to see God to know He's there. Why do you say that, preacher? I don't have to see the wind, but I see the effects of the wind, and I know that it's working. Oh. Yet believing, it's tough sometimes. When you're in the valley, it's tough to believe. Can I get an amen? When the wind is contrary, it's tough to believe. Can I get an amen? When you're in a struggle and you can't make sense of why everything is going the way it's going, it's hard to tell yourself, just keep believing, just keep believing, just keep believing. But I want to help you today because it isn't about your faith. It's about the object of your faith. They say, oh, she's a woman of great faith. He's a man of great faith. I don't want to be a man of great faith. I want to be a man that has faith in a great God. It ain't about the size of my faith. It's about the size of the God that I have my faith in. I use this all the time, but too many times, you know what we do? We take our problems to God and we say, God, here's my problem. When we should be going, hey, problem, here's my God. Let your problem know who you believe in. Raise your hand if you're in a battle. Look around the building. Almost every hand's going up. To you people that didn't raise your hand, we're glad you're on the easy street right now. Your battle's coming. What is it, Brother Eddie? You're either going in a trial, or coming out of a trial. Amen. It's a battle. It's a battle. Everything's a battle. You try to live for Jesus in this life, it's a battle. It's a struggle for survival as we daily meet the foe out there on the battlefield. Sometimes we stand alone. That's when I reach for my holy armor and I pick up my shield of faith. What you need is faith to fight this battle. You need to believe. You need to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You don't have your faith in Muhammad. You don't have your faith in Buddha. You don't have your faith in any of that. You got your faith in the one that got up on the third day and is alive in this room right now. I want to preach to you about a God who is able to save from the uttermost to the guttermost. I don't care what you came in here with today. I serve a God that's able to turn it around. Oh, but you preaching that, preacher, and you're preaching it to me, but you don't know what I'm going through. I know it doesn't matter. Because the same God that stepped out on the water is the same God that can step into your storm. Amen. Romans 4, 18 through 21. I want to read this to you. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. D-I-E, dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Next verse. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Can I talk to you for just a minute about the man of faith? God made him a promise. He was going to make him the father of many nations. The problem was, when God made the promise, the time had already passed. The evidence said it's not going to happen. The fact said it can't happen. But Abraham said, I know there ain't no hope, but I got hope anyway. Because it's not about her womb. It's not about my age. It's about the God that promised it. Yes, I hope you hear me today. Because in your battle, you got to have faith. When you don't understand what's going on, you got to have faith. When you don't see no way out and the evidence keeps getting worse, you got to have faith. Oh, I believe God's able to do this. I believe God's able to do that. I believe God's able to do this. And you make that testimony. But when it doesn't happen instantly, what do? Something begins to move in. And you begin to ask, God, where are you? I thought you'd be here by now. I thought it would have happened by now. I thought it would have worked by now. He said, those that haven't seen yet believing. So we got to change this into, God, I haven't seen it yet. I'm still believing. Though it hasn't happened yet, I'm still believing. Though I haven't seen God do it yet, I'm still standing on my faith. I still believe that he's able, though I haven't seen him do it. I know they're bound now, and though they haven't been delivered from that substance yet, I want to serve notice to the devil. I'm still believing, though they haven't been liberated from that bottle yet. I'm still believing, though my spouse hasn't got saved yet. I'm still believing, though my child has not got saved yet. I'm still believing. My faith is in a God who is able. I haven't seen it yet, but I still believe. There's no hope. Can you imagine Abraham telling his friends,
God spoke to me and we're going to have a child.
I mean, that's how I picture it in my head. I don't know how you picture it. Oh, yeah, Pops.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to name it.
Can you imagine what people thought when he made that statement? Can you imagine men and women in the Bible who moved by faith? How crazy it looked on the surface because the evidence said everything different. Can you imagine making this statement of faith? I know that God can deliver me, but even if he doesn't, I'm still not going to bow just because I know he can. And can you imagine when they heat the furnace 7 times hotter and it's time to put you in, you still don't bow. You still don't take a knee. You still don't give in. I know you ain't seen God do it yet, but you still believe that he's able. Watch this. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Now dead. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being what? Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's one of those spots in my sermon that when I give it in my head, when I'm going over it, y'all react different. Yeah, so thanks, John. So I blame me. I didn't do it right or something because when I was practicing the sermon, it went different, so I must have did it different. He being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Listen to me. Abraham didn't have his confidence in himself. He knew that he was out of the picture. He knew he couldn't make this happen if he tried his very best. Abraham knew that, but he also knew who God was. And we hadn't seen it happen like this before. It doesn't matter. I still believe. You got to get past the point of using something as a reference for what God can do. Because if we get our faith the way it needs to be, we're going to see things happen that ain't never happened before. Can I get an amen? God is able. God is able. Smack the person beside you and say, God is able. Sorry for y'all that got smacked, but somebody was sleeping and I need somebody to hit them. fully persuaded. You know what the problem is in the church world? We're partially persuaded. We want just enough. We want just enough to feel good about our eternal destiny. But God's able. God's able. I wish I'd have brought it with me. I preached on this one time years ago. I got so much stuff going on in my life. The only thing that's really organized in my life is my sermon notes. I'm being serious. Shane, amen? Yeah, he knows. I get home, I got to do stuff real fast because I got to go to sleep real fast so I can get up real fast and drive real fast to go to work real fast. Hurry up and get off as fast as I can so I can go back home real fast and go back to bed real fast. Anybody relate? Raise your hand. Yeah. Gotta hurry. Gotta hurry so I can go to bed so I can hurry up and get up and hurry up and go to work. If I get home and I do something in the evening, I gotta do it real fast. So I was out in my building and I looked down and I was like, man, come on. Damon. You got to do better. Once again, my extension cord. I got one of those orange reel things. I'm talking about that you reel them up on. Y'all got those? Anybody got those? Raise your hand if you got one of those. Those things are awesome. I looked over and that orange thing's laying over under the, and my extension cord's laying on the floor, and I'm telling you, it's in all kinds of knots. So I started getting them out of knots. I started thinking about that sermon that I preached. You know what I normally do? I get it unknotted enough to reach to where I need it to reach to. I've stood on and pulled it to see. All right, it's good. That'll reach. Get the shop vac plugged up. Vacuum out the car. I don't unravel the rest of it. That's wasted time. But the design of that cord is to reach 100 feet. You know what's awesome about that cord? I just pull enough out for me. But I got enough cord to reach over to my neighbor's house and clean his stuff up too. If I'd get it untangled. You know what we want? We want enough faith to reach out to get us taken care of. But God's saying, I want to do something through you, and I want to let some power flow through you, but you got to get this faith in your head untangled and understand that it's not just about you getting enough. It's about God moving through you. He said, Abraham, this ain't about just blessing you. All the nations of the earth are going to be blessed because of your faith. Fully persuaded that God was able to do it. Hurry, Damon. Okay, Hebrews 2, 8 through 9. Somebody said, take my time. Thou hast put all things in subjection. Where? Under his feet. Is it talking about Jesus or talking about man? Don't answer that because you don't know. This is quoting a psalm talking about man that has been turned into a messianic prophecy. Are you with me? Understand, there's a spiritual meaning, there's a natural meaning. Because let me tell you what happened. When God created man and he put him in the garden, she said, take your time. So I got to stop right here. Time out. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but I got to tell you this real fast. Has anybody ever seen one of those economic pie charts? Right? And it tells you, you know, this spin on this, this spin on that. And it talks about in the global economy, there's only so much money. And if this person has the top 1% has this much, it leaves this much. Anybody ever seen those? I heard this guy talking the other day. And it was so awesome. He said, God ain't into economical pie charts. He said, if he was into pies, he would have put Adam in a bakery, not a garden. He said, but you know what he did? He put him in a garden. And in that garden, there was apple trees and fruit trees. And inside that fruit, He said, there's a seed. He said, inside every apple is 5 to 6 seeds. He said, but if you plant that seed, you don't get 5 to 6 more apples. You get 5 to 6 more apple trees. Man, this is so good what he said. It blew my mind. It's so simple, but you're going to like it too, I hope. If you don't, there's something wrong with you. He said, any fool can count the amount of seeds in an apple, but only God knows the amount of apples in a seed. Yeah, I pictured that. I pictured y'all doing that. What are you saying? I don't got my faith in something that's limited. I got my faith in something that can reproduce. I'm not limited by this world and by the rules that it plays by. I got a God that's able to take a seed and plant that seed and not just change me, but change my neighbor and my neighbor's neighbor and everybody around me. My faith is in him. We're doing good. All right. You put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all, what? For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see, whoa, back up. I was right there. But now we see not yet all things. Does that scripture make any sense to y'all?
Like, what did he say? Subjection under, not under, it's a him and not him.
What are we talking about? Let's read this real slow. You ready? Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Who? Man. Man had dominion in the garden. Did he not? He put everything in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not everything. Everything was put in his, he had dominion over everything. Everything. But something happened. What happened was Adam chose sin over God. Now we can debate whether he lost his dominion, whether he gave it to Satan, whether God gave it to Satan. People say, no, there's no way that Satan got Adam's dominion. I know this. Adam was in a mess after he sinned. And the earth was not under subjection to him anymore. As a matter of fact, it started growing thorns and thistles. And everything was cursed. And somehow Satan became the god of this world and the prince of the power of the air. So I don't want to get into all to the theology of it, but I'm going to tell you this. When Adam messed up, Satan got stronger. Why? Because through sin, listen to me, through sin comes misery. Through sin comes death. Listen to me real close. Sin is fun. You can't say that, preacher. Yes, I can. Some fin is sun. Some sin is fun. You know how I know it is? Because the Bible says it is. It says the pleasure of sin. He chose rather to suffer than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Here's the problem with sin. We don't know when the season ends. But I'm having so much fun. It's going to end. It's going to end. And when it does, you're in trouble. Sin has already ended in me. So I'm not in trouble. Let me say it like this. Sin has no more power over me. Sin cannot affect my destination because I'm saved by the blood of Jesus and I have eternal life. Amen. The penalty of sin is gone. The power of sin is gone. And I'm waiting on the presence of sin to be gone. Oh, man. Yeah. But watch what he says. He left nothing that is not. Now watch this. He says, but now we see. We see not yet. He does not want me to read this. But now we see not yet all things put under him. He said, you know what? He gave dominion over everything. But right now we're not seeing that. Let me tell you something right now. If you are a saint of God, listen real close. You're going to judge the world. That's in your Bible. So these people run around saying, don't judge me. You're going to judge them. How ironic. Am I telling it right? You as a saint are going to judge the world. That's a heavy responsibility. But he's saying, right now we don't see it. Right now we're not there. It's coming. He's saying it's coming, but it's not here yet. Next verse, finally, get me there. So we don't see that, but I'll say that louder. But what? But what we do see is we see Jesus. We don't see all things put under man's feet yet, but what we do see is we see Jesus. What are you saying? I don't see it yet, but I know it's coming because I see Jesus. Oh, man, are you hearing me? I don't see it yet. I can't experience it yet. But what I do see is I see Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus did. He made it possible. I may not see it now, but I still believe. I don't realize it yet, but I still believe. It ain't happened yet, but I still believe because I see Jesus. Come on up here. Where's that group at? Come on up here. Oh, the praise team. Y'all come up here and sing that song again. They're like, what song? I'm going to see if you was listening to my sermon or not and see if you can line it up. You know what happens? You know what happens, man? Storms come our way, and we get blinded. You know what we start to do? We start to doubt. We say, man, it just ain't going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. You know what really gets you? It's all of a sudden you'll get just a little bit of hope. And you know what you're looking at? You're looking at the conditions of the situation. And so your hope grows because you see a little bit of difference. Come on, can I talk to you for a minute? Karen, when it's Mother's Day and they decide to come to church, does your hope grow? You're like, yeah, this could be it. And then the altar call comes and the altar call goes and they walk out the door and what happens to your hope? It subsides. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You say, they didn't. I wish, I'm praying. Faith is so low now. You know why? Because we're looking at what we see. He said, we don't even see it at all right now. He said, but we see Jesus. Oh, check this out. Y'all ready? Man, if you're a shouter, you might get ready. Go ahead and move your purse out of the way. Get ready. Tell the person beside you, watch out. Scoot back. The condition doesn't change him at all. My hope isn't in what I see. I believe way past that. So put your blinders on and just see Jesus. So what do you think? Do you think this is going to happen? I see Jesus. How are you feeling about that situation? How's that going? I see Jesus. Hey, I heard about your situation. How I see Jesus. Because when you're hurting, see Jesus. When it don't make sense, see Jesus. Y'all with me? We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I believe one day Adolf Hitler is going to bow his knee to Jesus Christ and say, "You're Lord." I believe Joseph Stalin is going to bow his knee and say, "You know what, Jesus, you're Lord." You know what else I believe? Every person in this room is going to bow their knee to Jesus and say, "You are Lord." I don't know how you feel about it, but I have no problem right now bowing down and saying, "Jesus, you are my Lord." Your sin is either going to follow you or go before you. I'm so glad my sin has already gone before me. Because he's not the Lord my judge. He's the Lord my Savior. As we sing this song, if you need anything at all, if your relationship is not right with him, I want you to come to the altar today, today. Y'all ready? Let's do this. You know what? As an act of faith right now, I need some ministers to come up here right now. Come and give me some ministers. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Give me some believers. Give me some believers. Give me some believers. All right, you ready? They're waiting on you. They're waiting on you to pray with you. They're waiting on you to pray with you. All you got to do is step out. All you got to do is step out, come forward. And you know what? They're already here. They're already here. We really believe you're coming.